Hello and welcome. Welcome to the Psychedelic Assessment. Actually, we're just about to close. But we're saying hello anyway. Because now comes Brain Damage here at USB, Stony Brook. And hello to everyone at the Javits Center. Just settling down right about now. Getting ready to watch the movie My Girl. What a way to spend your Saturday night. I'd like to see that movie. They didn't invite me. We just heard from Bongwater. The great Bongwater. Which, with Kramer and Magnuson doing their version of the Harrison song, Love You Too. And before that, we heard the Beatles version. And we started off a long time ago with the Bongwater. Again, doing Splash. Splash number one, followed by the original 13th Floor Elevators version of that song. And The Soft Machine. A couple of cuts from The Soft Machine with Kevin Ayers. They gave us We Did It Again. And Why Are We Sleeping? And in between that we heard Bongwater's version. And we also heard from Gary Glitter doing Rock and Roll. Part two. Followed by Bongwater's version. And the Monkees and Bongwater doing You Just May Be the One. So it was a kind of Bongwater copy original motif, if you will, here at Stony Brook. It's creeping up on midnight, which means Eric Crawley's creeping around here. And we'd like to remind you, at 12 o'clock, Concert Billboard, with the latest updates and all your favorite concerts. Matter of fact, why don't we play that now? Any objection, Eric?
What?
Any objection?
To what?
You weren't listening?
No, I never listened.
Well, then you lose your vote.
Oh, okay.
See, if you don't listen, you don't get the vote. Just like it should be in this country, don't you agree?
I think if less people voted, we'd have more problems. No, I meant that the other way around.
What, if more people voted, there'd be less problems?
No, I didn't mean that either. Wait, I meant something. Well, there's going to be more problems no matter what you do.
If there's less voting.
Well, yeah, that's one way to do it.
Okay.
Should have the vote. As frequently as you can.
And cause problems.
Yes.
I think that's what you meant. Cause problems by voting. WUSB. Stony Brook.
Hello, USB listeners. This is Ro on 90.1 WUSB with your Concert Billboard Update for Sunday, March 1st. Tonight, the Mighty Mighty Bosstones and Mephistopheles and Lomito will be playing at the Wetlands. On Wednesday, March 4th, we have Jackie Mason appearing at Westbury Music Fair and Trip Shakespeare playing at the Marquee, as well as Italian guitarists Carlo Baroni and Francesco Taranto appearing at the Stony Brook Union Auditorium with musical director Maria Giottosi. For Friday, March 6th, Brian Boitano and Katarina Witt will be appearing at Madison Square Garden, and Alison Moyet and Jules Shear will be at the Marquee. For Saturday, March 7th, we have alto saxophonist Lee Konitz at the Stoller Center here at Stony Brook, and Steel Pulse at Roseland, as well as the Meat Puppets at Wetlands. For Sunday, March the 8th, we have Shabba Ranks playing at the Palladium, and on Monday, March the 9th, U2 and the Pixies will be at Nassau Coliseum. For Tuesday, March the 10th, the Allman Brothers Band will be playing at the Beacon Theater, and Machio Parker and Johnny Johnson will be at the Blue Note. On Wednesday, March 11th, Tanya Tucker and Mark Colley will be at Westbury Music Fair, and Mr. Big and Tall Stories will be at the Ritz. And for Thursday, March the 12th, MSG and XYZ will be appearing at the Marquee. And finally, on Friday, March the 13th, George Strait and Colin Ray will be playing at Westbury Music Fair, and Agnostic Front will be at the Ritz, as well as Coco Taylor and her Blues Machine, who will be appearing at the Marquee. If you would like to stay in tune with Concert Billboard information, you can hear us 7 days a week, weekdays at 3 and 9 a.m. and 4:30 and 10 p.m., and weekends at noon and at midnight. If you have any questions regarding upcoming concerts, please feel free to call us at 632-690.1. Once again, this is Ro signing off on 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook.
Somebody's gonna die tonight.
William Merle, and you are listening to Dead City Radio on WUSB, Stony Brook, New York.
and the theme tonight on brain damage is prison. We are all imprisoned in some way, whether it's in our minds, in our ectoplasm, in our very consciousness. We lock ourselves away in the deepest vaults of our own minds. And many of you out there who are currently locked away will be calling tonight and talking to us. We'll share each other's inhibitions and join together in the most ghastly of secrets. But that is the purpose of this radio program, to expose the horrors and to revel in them. And we are happy. But all that aside, what is life like in a prison? People think I'm experienced. People think I've done everything. But I've never visited a prison. What is life like in a prison? What do prisoners do all day? Many people are curious to know.
What is life like in a prison? What do prisoners do all day? Many people are curious to know. Our reporter has visited several prisons, and Xiaodu will give you a glimpse of prison life and work.
In China, when someone is sent to prison, people say he's been sent to be reformed through labor. The head warden of the Yibin prison in Sichuan province, Chang Junchao, explains why labor is necessary to reform criminals. Chang Junchao says labor can help prisoners change their attitudes towards crime and establish new ideas of responsibility and earning one's own living. Yibin prison has a machine tool factory where prisoners learn job skills. Prisoner Guo Shunxi operates a planer. Guo Shunxi says that all prison workers enjoy the same labor protection as employees in state-owned factories. They work 7 hours a day and have holidays and Sundays off. They can also receive bonuses if they meet their quotas and produce high-quality goods. In addition to reform, labor is also a way to prepare prisoners for employment when they're released. Prisoner Ye Yu Ling is a grinder. Ye Yu Ling says he used to be a farmer. He has learned the grinding technique in prison. He wants to be a worker when released, and he believes there are many employment opportunities for a person with his skill. Classroom education has been recognized as another important way to reform criminals. This is a classroom at the Sichuan No. 4 prison. Because many of the prisoners are poorly educated, there are 20 classes ranging from basic literacy classes through primary school to junior middle school. But according to Fu Qiang, a warden in charge of education, more education has been given priority. Fu Qiang says prisoners are taught basic legal knowledge, and an important aspect of moral education has been to teach them to be self-respecting, self-improving, and self-reliant. As elsewhere in the world, prison life is no fun. Prisoners enjoy no freedom and only the basic means of subsistence. However, prisoners in China have more or less the same amount of food in their diet as the average citizen. And all prisoners can receive 2 visits per month from family members. Chinese people usually have strong ties with their families, and this is true of prisoners. The attitudes of their families strongly influence the prisoners' reform process. Head warden of the Chengdu prison for juvenile criminals, Xie Chunjia, explains. Xie Chunjia says his prison has opened classes for parents on visiting days to tell parents how to treat their law-offending children properly and how to cooperate with the prison in their reform. The prison authorities also keep parents informed about their children's behavior in prison. The Chengdu prison for juvenile criminals has also received help from the society in the reform process. For instance, a district library has regularly sent books to the prison, as curator Yang Dezhen explains. Yang Dezhen says many young delinquents have been influenced by bad books on their way towards crime. She believes that helping these young criminals is part of a library's duty. In China, representatives of the local people's congresses often inspect the work in prisons, and social workers always make a point of visiting prisoners on holidays, such as the Chinese New Year, the Spring Festival. Prisoners are always afraid of being deserted by society, so this caring from society can give them great encouragement. Many have reformed well and become law-abiding citizens. Only 6-8% of those released commit crimes again and are sent back to prison.
Well, I guess she's finished. Usually they say goodbye or something like that, but she's finished. Okay. You heard it here, folks. Bad books. Remember that next time you open up something that might lead you into more than you can handle. To look at Chinese prisons. From our Chinese tape, which comes our way every now and then, and every now and then we play part of it. And those of you that are fans of Moscow Mailbag, we've got some terrible news. They've stopped coming. They're not sending it to us anymore, apparently, since the Soviet Union went out of business. There aren't going to be any more Moscow Mailbags, at least not coming to us. But we'll just have to see about that. Phone lines opening up in about 3 minutes. Yeah, you're getting a busy signal. You noticed that, huh? We decided to make it fair for everybody, not just those of you with speed dialers and, alarm clocks and things like that. So in about 3 minutes, the phone lines will be open. The number is 632-6901. We'll also open up a second bank of phones if those fill up. Oh, but now it's time to do something else. Time to reach out across the cosmos and destroy confidence, cause hostility, confusion, and just general anger. Yes, it's time to play Confuse the Operator. And this time, we're going to venture out all the way across the vast tundra. to the 51st state. No, is it the 50th state? Or is it the 49th state? I'm not sure, but it's Alaska in any event. Let's see who's out there.
What city, please?
Yes, hello. Is this, Huno?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Is this Huno?
Yes, sir. I said I'm Huno.
Okay, great. I need the number for the prison out there.
Oh.
And I believe it's a white-collar prison. I'm not sure if that makes a difference.
Neither do I, but I don't have a prison in Huno. I have a district court magistrate in a court system, but, sir, I don't have a prison.
Yeah, that's hardly the same thing. Do you know where the prison is kept, then? I mean, surely there are criminals out there.
Is there a public... There's a public safety. They might be able to answer your question, sir.
It's been my experience that public safety really doesn't know much about prisons.
Well, the thing of it is they've built new prisons here. They put a brand new one in Seward, but I don't have one in... Huna, they should know where it's at, sir.
There's a brand new prison where?
In Seward, Alaska.
Okay, why don't you give me that one, and they might be able to guide me to the prison of my choice anyway.
All right.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. That main number is...
Thank you for calling. The number is 224-8200. Once again, 224-8200. Zero. If you need further directory assistance, an operator will return.
Now let's hang out for a moment and see if anybody comes back.
Joanne, what city, please?
Yes, hello. Do you have an address for that prison?
Moment.
It's always good to get the address of a prison, I say.
They don't give any address at all, sir. I'm sorry.
Oh, really? That's going to make it awfully difficult to find. Okay, I'll just give them a call then. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Well, a prison with no address. A prison with an unlisted address. Almost as bad as a prison with an unlisted phone number. But we don't have such a case here. We do have a listed phone number. We do have a prison. In a moment, we'll be speaking to a prison. I bet you've never done this before. I bet you've never called a prison in Alaska. No. No, people don't do that kind of thing. What's wrong with us? Have we lost our sense of what is right? Of what is just? Of what is true? Oh, how come?
Spring Creek Corrections Officer Hartzler.
Yes, hello. Is this the prison?
Yes, it is.
I was wondering, I'm trying to reach somebody over there. And I was wondering if prisoners are allowed to take phone calls and if you have different sections for the type of criminals they are. Sorry?
I cannot do that, no.
You can't tell me or you can't transfer me?
I can't transfer you.
Uh-huh. And I assume by not transferring me, they can't take phone calls. Is that it?
They cannot.
They cannot. All right. They can make phone calls, though, right?
They can make phone calls.
But they have to be collect.
Yes.
Okay, I understand. Can you just answer one question for me? Is this a maximum security prison or a minimum security prison?
This is maximum security.
Maximum. And about how many...
That's all I can answer.
Okay, that's all you can answer. All right, well, then have a very nice day.
Okay, you too now.
Bye-bye. And yes, we've reached out and confused somebody somewhere who really didn't have much information to tell us, but we've caused a bit of a stir at the prison in Seward, Alaska. And heck, isn't that what we're here for? The phone lines are now open. Enough of that. 632-6901, area code 516. Program is Brain Damage. And already we've spanned the entire continent of this wonderful country. And speaking of this wonderful country, let's read this wonderful country's news from the Associated Press. Again, our phone number is 632-6901, area code 516. And give us a call. We'll put your call on the air, most likely. And we'll give out other phone numbers if the lines fill up. Okay, there were fireworks in Denver on Saturday night as the five major Democratic candidates staged a debate that turned into a fist fight. All right, maybe not a fist fight, but they do refer to it as a free-for-all. And sometimes a free-for-all, especially in a bar, can turn into a fist fight. So maybe they were one step away from a fist fight. Imagine that, presidential candidates striking each other, intending to cause pain and have blood flow. Sorry. But democracy just gets me all emotional. Anyway, one of the more heated arguments came when Bill Clinton said that Paul Tsongas, besides having a silent T to start his name, well, if he were president, he would allow construction of hundreds of nuclear power plants. Hundreds or more, actually. The Associated Press says hundreds of more, but I think they mean hundreds or more nuclear power plants in the United States. And Tsongas responded by saying, that's a goddamn lie, minus the goddamn part, but it was certainly there in meaning. Now, okay, you think that's not enough? Patrick Buchanan, his supporters say President Bush's campaign isn't keeping the conservative challenger out of the Republican Party mechanism. Buchanan backers are claiming victory after Bush's supporters abandoned efforts to win the California GOP's formal endorsement before the state party convention. Interesting. Why do you suppose they abandoned efforts to win the formal endorsement? That's puzzling, to say the least. San Antonio TV station KMOL confirms that it fired reporter Brian Karim for what it calls his belligerent attitude during a news conference with President Bush on Thursday. The station calls Karim's behavior the final straw in a series of misjudgments he has made. Of course, they don't say what he did. If anybody knows what he did, please call us up. We'd like to know what that reporter did in San Antonio that got them so upset that they fired him. What did he say to President Bush? Did President Bush have something to do with his demise? They're partying hardy in New Orleans, the scene of the annual Mardi Gras celebration. Saturday's parades included one of the largest and most popular of the 12-day carnival season, the Endymion procession. That's what it is, led this year by singer Kenny Rogers. And what other news do we have here? The United States ambassador to the UN is refusing to rule out a military strike aimed at forcing Iraq to comply with a UN demand that it destroy its missile production facilities. Wait a minute, this is last year's news. What's last year's news doing here? Thomas Pickering is the current president of the council which authorized the military campaign that drove Iraqi troops from Kuwait a year ago. Okay. Iraq's refusal to begin scrapping Scud-making facilities has drawn a strong warning from the council. Texas health counselor has gone into seclusion after a storm that erupted over her finding that an unusually high number of teens in several northeast Texas towns were infected with the AIDS virus. Donna Spence has been unnerved by death threats and exhausted by media attention. Questions have been raised about her findings. Spence says in an interview that all she did was her job and she got hung on the clothesline for it. Most interesting. And that's pretty much all the news that's worth reading, in my opinion. Again, our phone number is 632-6901. And you know, this goes to prove something. We have a couple of lines ringing, but we have a couple of open lines. Usually, what happens here is that well before the radio program begins, all the lines are ringing off the hook. But tonight, we tried something new. We tried leaving the phones locked up in tow. We were ready to take phone calls, so people wouldn't have to ring the phone all the time. And guess what? The phones aren't even full, which confirms a suspicion that we've dumped a lot of money into this investigation, polls, that kind of thing, that most people that call up the radio station aren't even listening. What do you think of that? Calling up a call-in show and you're not even listening to it. Hence, you have people asking, what is the topic tonight? Well, you know what the topic is. Tonight we're talking about prisons, that's it. Prisons and elections. Prisons, elections, and I guess the cold weather we're having, too. minus 7 degrees outside, and that comes out to be 19 on the Celsius scale, the Fahrenheit scale, 26 on the USB scale, which, no, I'm sorry, that's wrong, isn't it? On the USB scale, it would be 12, yes, because it's minus 7. That's USB scales, Fahrenheit, Celsius added together for no particular reason. 632-6901, I want to see who's out there. Good morning.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
That's good.
Hi, this is Rocco calling from West Babylon.
Rocco from West Babylon. Okay, that's not the Rocco then that lives out here.
No.
Okay, I just wanted to clear that up before any misunderstandings started.
All right, I'd like to say hi to a couple people first.
Okay.
All right. I'd like to say hi to Cousin Lou, who got me into the station. My sister Julie.
Cousin Lou got you into the station?
Yeah.
Is Cousin Lou a janitor here that has keys?
No, my Cousin Lou.
Well, okay, your Cousin Lou. Is your Cousin Lou, what does your Cousin Lou do?
Nothing, but he went to the mall last week.
Uh-huh.
He was the one with the mall.
Oh, he was the one in the mall at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning. Okay, how did that go?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't call him yet.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to say hi to Dripping Joey Dangerously.
Okay.
Icy Hot, Kelly, Kelly, Anna, and that's it.
All right. Is that all you called to say?
Oh, yeah. I want to know, if 7-Eleven is open 24 hours a day...
Why is it called 7-Eleven?
No. Why are there locks on the doors?
Why are there locks on the doors? That's a very good question, which we've been asking for all time here on the radio station.
Yeah?
And we have yet to find an answer. All right. But thanks for posing it yet again. 632-6901, and I guess we'll open up the other lines now, which would be 632-6500 as well. So if you get a busy signal on one, try the other. Good morning. You're on.
How are you today?
I'm okay, but let's not get into that.
Okay. I was wondering, did you watch Primetime?
Okay. All right. You just said, did I watch Primetime? Now, isn't the show called Primetime Live?
Yeah, Primetime Live.
But they call it Primetime. Why is that?
Excuse me?
They call it Primetime, even though the name of the show is Primetime Live. Everybody calls it Primetime.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even the people that do the show call it Primetime. I don't know. I don't understand it. And when I don't understand something, I don't watch it. So in answer to your question, no.
Well, a couple of days ago, it was on, and they had a show on, a whole show devoted to racism.
Okay.
In America. And what they had, like, they had the Ku Klux Klan on there. They had people who were gay bashing and all that kind of garbage.
Uh-huh.
And, like, the Klan conducted themselves very good on there. They're, like, trying to clean up their image. And yet, on the show, what happened, what they showed in film, like a lot of the blacks were rampaging, throwing stones, throwing things at the Klan, right? Now, the officers, you know, the police who were guarding the Klan, got them onto the bus. Now, after the Ku Klux Klan left, they were, the blacks and the Hispanics in that area were still rampaging. They started destroying police automobiles and everything. And I just, you know what I mean, I just couldn't believe watching that, you know what I mean? They want equality, which they do have. But yet, by damaging that, it's really putting their race many years behind them.
Well, I mean, do you think that they were attacking and looting and pillaging as a race, or do you think it was just a crowd that got out of control?
It was, well, I wouldn't just say a race, but these people, you know what I mean, they should, because this was on Martin Luther King's birthday.
Uh-huh.
If you understand, and what I felt what they should have done, they should have been more peaceful.
Right.
They should have been more peaceful instead of doing this.
Well, I mean, you know, of course, people should be more peaceful just about any time, but you have lots of idiots running around. But I don't think you should take that as any kind of a symbol of what a particular race is all about.
No, no, I'm not saying that, but they should have conducted themselves much better on, especially that it was on TV.
Well, I don't think people are going around saying this riot is going to be televised on Primetime Live. You know, it's just
news media was there. They knew it was going to be on. They knew it was going to be on some kind of TV station.
Well, the news media is always ready to leap on something like this. And you know, also, where did this happen?
Colorado, I believe.
In Colorado. Now, how come you haven't heard about this? How come none of us have heard about this until it was on Primetime Live? You know, did you hear about it when it happened on Martin Luther King Day?
Yes, I did. I saw it on the news.
You did?
I saw a piece of it where a bunch of guys were going, white power,
uh-huh.
white power, you
right.
know, give me white power.
Did you see rampaging mobs looting
and closing? I didn't see that, only on prime time, because I didn't get to watch the whole news broadcast, but uh-huh. they may have put it on.
Well, now, you see, what primetime did was they made a news package out of this. They made a story. They were making some kind of statement, possibly. And, you know, who knows how it really happened. The best way to tell if it really happened is to look at the news accounts of that particular day. You might find that, you know, that this was a riot that took place for a different reason, not just because the Klan was there. Maybe, you know, there was something else going on that wasn't reported. But, you know, in the interest of that particular story, they wanted to contrast the Klan with the riots. I don't know. I didn't see any of it, so I'm not really qualified to say what it could be. But I've seen the media distort things before, and I'm sure they will do it again.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
What I'm saying is you got to take everything with a grain of salt that you see on TV, because it's not always the way it is. For instance, Crown Heights last year. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yes.
Okay, Crown Heights. I went there in the middle of it, okay? A white guy like me went to the Crown Heights riots because I wanted to see what was going on. And, yes, there were riots going on. The police were charging and people were throwing things and, you know, guns were being shot and all that kind of thing. And what do you think happened? People surrounded my car and told me the best way to get out because they didn't want to see me get hurt.
Oh,
and a lot of people, not just one or two people, about, you know, a dozen people did that, and they didn't even know each other, or at least they didn't come to me as a group. They came from different directions, and they were doing that to other motorists, too, to make sure that they got out safely. But that wasn't reported,
mm.
you know? The media isn't interested in something like that. They're interested in blood and seeing people, you know, get shot and getting anger up, and hence more viewers.
So, yeah, I can see your point in that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, every story has something else to it that you don't always see, and you got to look for.
Yeah, there's a Long Island chapter at Ku Klux Klan that I don't know if you know about that.
No, I'm sure there is, but what do you know about it?
Huh?
What do you know about it?
I'm the director.
You're the director?
Yeah, I'm in the Ku Klux Klan.
Okay, well, is that a
paying position?
Is that a paying position, I wonder? Well, we'll find out, I'm sure. Director. 632-6901, area code 516, and 632-6500 if that one is busy. Good morning, you're on.
Hi.
How you doing? Speak up, please.
Hi, my name's Steve.
Huh?
My name's Steve.
Your name's Steve. Where are you calling from, Steve?
Hopog.
Hopog?
Yep.
Okay, wait a minute. I got a question for you. What's the zip code in Hopog?
11788.
That's what I thought. Now, I got a letter today from the post office, and they had a Hopog return address, and the zip code was 11760.
No, that's not it.
I know. How could the post office get their own zip code wrong?
I don't know.
I don't either. And when the post office starts doing that, that's, you know, Western civilization isn't far behind. Well, anyway, I don't mean to depress you, but what's on your mind?
I just want to say hi to my friend Stacey.
Okay.
And she's in Stony Brook, in Port Jeff Station.
Okay. You better remember which Stacey you're talking about here.
And I just wanted to tell her that there's 75 more days to the Cure concert.
To the which concert?
Cure concert.
Uh-huh, okay.
And we both worship them, so...
Okay.
So, she told me to listen. I just call and say hi.
Told you to listen, call, and say hi, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's great. Thanks so much for doing that.
Okay.
Now, I don't mind people calling up and saying hi, but, you know, at least, you know, let's have some conversation, too, so other people will join in. You know? We can say hi any old time. But, you know, we can speak our minds here. So, I mean, we have minds, and I'm sure we do. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Hello, this is Leroy.
All right. Now I know I got somebody that's going to say something. What's going on?
I walked into a Chinese food restaurant today.
Right.
And I say, yo, man, give me those 5 chicken wings for $1.25. And he gave me those 5 chicken wings. And I said, what else you got? And he said, would you like egg roll? And I said, no, I want french fries. And he says, "Would you like duck sauce?" I say, "Why would I want duck sauce if I'm getting french fries?" You know, I say, "Give me extra ketchup, because I like extra ketchup."
Okay. All right, yeah, you definitely got us hanging here, Leroy. What's so what happened next?
Well, he gave me some.
He gave it to you, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. That's some story there. And, I want to thank you so much for sharing that with us. You heard it here on WUSB in Stony Brook. Good morning.
Hey, a couple things, man. The first thing is to that genius Ku Klux Klan director who can't even pronounce Colorado right. Yeah, real great. The blacks are just going to sit there, this and that's when they've been repressed for hundreds of years. And the other thing, instead of calling it brain damage, I think they should call it brain damage audio personals. I mean,
yeah, that's a good idea.
Because it's cute every once in a while, but why does it, all these little sheep following the same idea over and over?
Uh-huh.
It's ridiculous.
Well, and personals you charge money for, at least in the newspaper. Now, maybe if we charge $1 a minute for people to say hi to whoever out there, we could make some money, too.
Yeah, you can. It boosts you won't, because don't you, isn't it funded radio station.
It certainly is a whatchamacallit funded radio station. And in fact, we're going to be asking the whatchamacallits out there for their funding real soon now, because we're almost on the Bald Hill Tower, but we'll get into that later on. It's being built, though.
Eric, you know a guy named Mark Gunning, right?
Yeah, he does our gay and lesbian show.
Yeah, I know. I just met him the other day. He's really cool. Seriously, no joke.
No joke. He is cool.
And
it's a cool show, too. You should listen.
I just clicked into it the other day, and the first time I clicked into it, I won like $7 and whatever, and he's really cool guy.
You won $7 listening to the gay and lesbian show?
No, I won books.
You won books?
Yeah, and
they're not
gay books or anything. They're like ones like on Negaholics. It's like a wide variety.
Well, you never
one's
know.
One's called Fairy Tales.
You'll never know what you'll win when you call into this place.
Yeah, they're really good, and the guy's a real cool guy. But what I want to say is two topics. One is the guy last, there was someone called last week and was talking about Joe Dougherty.
Right, the Irish prisoner that was forcibly returned to England.
Yeah, well, I'm just curious what you think about that, about the whole English in Northern Ireland. How it's, like the last English colony and all this BS.
Well, like any other conflicting situation over there, a lot of people are trying to make like there isn't one, like there isn't a problem. Obviously there is. We just had a bombing a couple of days ago in London.
Yeah.
And of course, that kind of way of dealing with it, I don't find acceptable, but.
I don't, by any means necessary.
Yeah, well, that's what Malcolm X said.
Right.
And,
exactly what the whatchamacallit saying, like, all of a sudden these blacks are just, all right, we'll take being repressed. We don't mind. We did it so well for all these years.
Yeah, but there's a point where you got to draw the line, okay? You said that blacks have been repressed for hundreds of years, right. But you gotta translate that to present day.
Oh, okay? Yeah, I do. But he's just totally uneducated, ignorant fool.
Uh-huh. Well, apart from that, though, I mean, I'm not talking to anybody else now. I'm talking to you.
All right.
Now, the situation is that as an individual person, have you as an individual person been repressed? That's the question you should ask yourself, black or white, whatever.
Not at all.
Well, you don't feel you've been oppressed at all.
No, I can say by the government this and that, and you can say, oh, yeah, my parents repressed me the other day, and they wouldn't let me take out the Volvo. But,
it's more subtle than that. It's your values. It's what what you think is acceptable, what you don't think is acceptable, things that you close yourself off to because, you've been brought up in a certain way. That's another form of repression.
Yeah, but it seems mine is such a... In a ratio to all these other repressions, mine is such a minute number.
Well, the repression that a lot of people feel the most is economic repression, where, you can't afford to live a decent life, and here in supposedly the greatest country in the world, everybody's supposed to be able to do that, but obviously it doesn't happen. A lot of us aren't even aware that this kind of thing is possible, but of course it is. And other kinds of repression are, the mental kinds, the things that are done to our freedom of expression, and freedom of speech, all that kind of thing. And that's something that's happening more and more, I see. I see it happening everywhere.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't find that to be as major a deal. I think that's, worse than economic repression, actually, but then I'm an idealist anyway.
The other thing is I want to ask you, I asked Mark, No, Matt Delaweek, and he just jumped down my throat when I asked him this, because I asked him about the Libertarian Party, and he gave him this whole scenario, how he pulled the whatever in the booth, and he got a write-in ballot, and he didn't vote for Bush, and I said, so what about the Libertarian Party? Have you heard of it? And he's like, oh, blah, 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 they're not in local governments, and they just show their face every 4 years, and it was just like, he just jumped down my throat, and I'm like, but, and he just like kept jumping down my throat, I'm like, but, and he wouldn't even let me finish.
Uh-huh.
I was like, God, I'm like, you know, people calling up saying all the whatever, you know, hi, Judy, I love you, meet me at the corner fountain.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to make, you know, a valid statement here and try to educate these, you know, these little peoples. And it's just, he's jumping down my throat. I'm like, jump down their throat, not mine.
Okay, now, let me ask something. Now, okay, Matt's not here. I have nothing against Matt, but tell us about the Libertarian Party.
Oh, the Libertarian Party, well, they're the, first of all, they're the largest third party in the country at this time. The candidates are...
They're larger than Right to Life?
Yeah, larger. Right to Life's just basically in New York. The Right to Life is bigger in New York than the Libertarian Party, because... New York is more of a liberal state, but nationwide.
Well, now, the Libertarians were also ahead in New Hampshire at the beginning.
Right. They even beat good old Georgie Bush.
Well, that was in one town, though.
I know, but don't tell the rest of the country that.
Okay, I wiped that remark.
Yeah, it was Andre Maru's president and Nancy Lord vice president, and they're not like, They're very educated people, and I think their goal is to get a million votes this year, and so far, pretty good.
Uh-huh.
But most people aren't informed of, you know, I can't explain it. I'll be here forever, and I don't even know, like, the advanced, you know, meanings of the Libertarian, but it's just like, people think, like, Libertarian, like, oh, they're communists and they want no government and they just want to smoke weed outside the White House, and it's really not true. And what they want is for you to have the right, you to have the initial rights and right to yourself, as long as it doesn't infringe on the rights of others.
Okay, can you give us an example?
And basically what it is, as I've been told so many times, it's liberal in the classical sense, like Thomas Jefferson.
Okay. Now, give us an example. Present-day life, how a libertarian would handle something.
Drugs? Let me see. Well, they are, you know, for, like, legalizing drugs, but they don't make it... They're not like a whole bunch of occult deadbeat hippies.
Is it legalizing or decriminalizing?
What did you say, Tom? Decriminalizing.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, there's certain... I can't like get into logistics on it.
Okay.
I'm not like trying to. There's a secret. What they really are the coke dealers in Colombia. But I just, you know.
Uh huh. Now, you know, a lot of people would say, yeah, libertarians right, you know, and leave it at that. But why can't we have lots of different parties, at least half a dozen parties that represent different values and that are taken seriously? When was the last time you saw anything? Any real time other than the occasional oddity story that they put on news to humor people when there isn't like a birth at the local zoo or something like that, when have you ever seen serious coverage given to a candidate like a Libertarian candidate? How many people out there even know who the Libertarian candidate is?
But most people don't. They get, it's something like 1/3 of the U.S. only knows the correct meaning of the Libertarian, even that the Libertarian even exists.
Uh-huh.
But they are, and for Matty, if he's listening... No, they are starting at the bottom. Like I said, he wouldn't acknowledge what I said, that Andre Maru was elected an Alaskan state legislator in 1984. If that's not the bottom, if that's not making roots, I don't know what is. They're not all of a sudden going to be popping out everywhere. New York is a very liberal state, so it's going to be harder for them to get roots in New York than any other state in the U.S., you know. It won't be the hardest, but it will be one of the hardest.
I mean, Patrick Buchanan couldn't even get on in New York.
Yeah, I know. New Hampshire, Alaska, and California
maybe
so hard.
Maybe you have some feelings on this. Why is it so difficult to get on the ballot? Why do they make it so difficult? They make it expensive?
This is this is the deal. You have to get, is it, Tom, is it 26,000? 20,000 votes in a two-week, excuse me, 20,000 signatures in a two-week period.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't get, that's for the governor, right?
That doesn't seem like too many, actually.
That's just for, I know, but it's for Suffolk County, whatever, if you're just writing, that's a lot.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know. If you're a big, if you're a big party, it's not hard at all. It's, you know, cheese. But if you're trying to become a more popular party in the public's eye, it's a little difficult.
Right.
Because, you know, people don't want change because...
Well, I mean, why does it have to be something like that? What I'm asking is if somebody wants something new, something different, why cannot somebody simply rise and be afforded the same kind of freedom of speech and be allowed to stand on his own platform? Why, you know, does somebody have to go out there and do something which is practically impossible, as you say?
Yeah.
It seems to discourage, you know, variety. And
yeah.
We don't seem to have much variety.
Well, we could do like with California. I know in California, if you run for mayor, if you don't get the 20,000 or whatever votes there is, you could pay the rest. And
uh-huh.
If you pay this whatever sum of money, you're on like that. So really, you don't have to get any votes. You just pay the sum of money and you're on. But, you know, I'm sure you have to get a couple votes.
Well, that's crazy then. And the only people that can get on without doing any of the work are rich people.
Right, exactly.
That's
and the
really...
other thing was, this is also, even though it's the third largest party, the Republicans used to be a third party too. And look how strong they are.
That's true. That's very true. And
they, you know, the Libertarians could be like the Republicans in 40 years, but, you know.
But you look at a country like, say, Italy, for instance, and they have dozens of parties running for elections. And of course, the country's in chaos most of the time anyway, but that's beside the point. Small countries in Europe and all around the world have elections, and they really mean something. They mean something because, you know, people care, governments change. You know, people get shot for voting, and it's because voting makes a difference. You know, people want to control the populace. Here, it doesn't really seem to make a difference, and therefore a lot of people don't take the time to vote in the first place, which means it makes even less of a difference.
Yeah.
And the candidates don't step too far out of line. They all want to pretty much seem to be the same kind of person. And so nothing really ever... We don't seem to be moving. I keep saying that a lot on the show. We seem to be stagnating.
Yeah.
And elections are a good example of that. I'm happy to hear of a free-for-all in Denver with the Democrats. There should be more of them. There should be more one-on-one debates. Why won't Bush debate Buchanan? I mean, I don't like Buchanan, certainly, but I want to see him debating George Bush. Oh, yes, I do.
Who are you most interested in the 1992 candidate?
Well, you know, Bill Clinton is interesting. But he reminds me of an evangelist somehow, and I just don't...
I hear.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with TV evangelists running the country. Songus, I kind of like Songus, but he doesn't really do anything charismatically. But then again, do we need a charismatic person in that position? Maybe we do, maybe we don't. It's hard to say right now. You know, the Democrats are still sort of fighting it out between themselves. You have to ask yourself, what difference does it make? Because... You know, you have no say in it. You have no say in it at all. Being an independent, somebody who doesn't register with any party, you're not allowed to vote in any of the primaries anyway. So the first time anybody asks for your input is election day, and that's when it's down to two candidates.
Yeah.
So where's the democracy there?
Yeah. But, keep the Libertarian in mind. I'm not like trying to like, oh, now I got another Libertarian vote, so I only have 19,999. But I'm just saying, you know, I know you're a very open-minded person. And the other thing I found out with talking to Mark, like I wasn't like, he's the first, how can I say this nicely, person interested in the alternative lifestyle.
Okay.
That I've met. And, I used to think like, oh, this and that, and first of all, if any, he could literally kick the art out of 8 out of 10 people. I know he's not huge, but he's decently built where he could whatever. If someone says, "Hey, you fag," where he could come over and say, "Poof, poof, poof," into the ground.
Not that he ever would, but yes, he could.
He could.
He's like the USB Worf.
Yeah, exactly. But it's so silly because what just because just it's so silly because he's a human being. He's not some kind of hormone that just whatever. And I like realized that, and like he made me understand like all these things.
And
like people think like, when you go to some gay guy's house, he's the second you get in the door, he's gonna pull down your pants. That's like. When some girl comes into my house, the second she gets in the door, I'm going to pull down her pants. It's so absurd.
It is. And people have all kinds of weird feelings about this. Uh-huh.
You play trombone?
No, I don't, but somebody did. I don't know who. The trombone definitely did make an appearance through the door there, and I don't know exactly what that's all about. But never mind that. Don't worry. Just continue on with what you were saying.
Oh, and the other thing was, he was telling me that... even parents, you're saying one parent said to, some second party that she wished her son was a murderer instead of being gay.
Well, that's because lots of people have real problems with lots of differences of opinions and things like that. You know, you realize that there was no big deal once you got to know somebody, you know, who was of a particular persuasion. And that's the case with just about anything different. You've got to take the time to get to know somebody, and you'll be surprised. You'll learn something about them. You'll learn something about yourself, too. And hopefully that will, make a big difference in our lives when we take the time out to learn about each other.
The other thing is we're going to try to get started the, Tom, would you call a survey stand?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, libertarian survey stand, I guess you could call it, at the Student Union in Stony Brook, just to, because they're trying to get them at more universities, because, you know, the future is in the youth. I don't know where that came out of. Maybe that's old wives' tale or something, but anyway, that's what they're trying to do, because... Whatever. We got to put it somewhere, and it ain't going to do good on 347, so.
No, that's certainly true. Listen, thanks very much for calling up. We're going to get to some more phone calls there.
All right. Have a good night.
All right.
Bye.
632-6901. It's good to see people reaching out and trying to learn something. It's a lesson for us all. 632-6500 is our alternate line. 632-6901 is our primary line. Good morning.
Yeah, I was wondering what you thought about legalizing marijuana.
Legalizing marijuana, I see no reason for it to be not legal when you have a society that where alcohol is everywhere, where cigarettes are everywhere. I don't think marijuana is the best thing for you, but then again, lots of things aren't the best thing for you, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, skydiving probably isn't the best thing for you, but it makes some people feel good, so why not?
Yeah, if marijuana was legalized, 80% of the savings alone would be paid off.
Well, that's assuming that the money that was made selling marijuana went into the federal tax.
Yeah.
But, more importantly, I think we would be less worried about all these laws and penalties, which we seem to be obsessed with.
Yeah.
You know, smoking a joint, big deal. Who cares? Now, if you're going to be operating something that requires 100% mind power, you shouldn't do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that's not to say... that we have to have, you know, drug tests all over the place.
Yeah, I don't think that people should be so concerned about what other people are doing in the privacy of their own home.
No, and a lot of these drug tests that people are forced to take, and a lot of people are forced to take drug tests these days, will be able to tell if you have enjoyed a joint in the comfort of your own home, or even, lots of other things, even alcohol. You know, I think the best way around that is to test somebody before they go on the job to see if they've got all their facilities. If they have to, say, drive a subway train or something like that, they simply have to complete a sequence that requires some kind of coordination. And if they're not able to do that, there's a good chance that, there's something wrong.
But there are ways to make a drug test come out negative, even though you've been using drugs.
Yeah, on top of that. I mean, what I'm referring to is not a drug test. It's an aptitude test of some sort. But drug tests, it's quite possible to not only to forge the results somehow, but it's also possible for the people testing you to make a mistake.
Exactly.
Either way, they can make a mistake. So it's not a very... But more importantly than that, it's just... It creates this atmosphere of suspicion and fear.
Hmm.
And that's always unhealthy to do that.
Yeah, but used for a lot of different things. It's like you could use it for clothing, for paper, for like the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were originally drafted on hemp.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's definitely an interesting fact for founding fathers to be in.
Yeah.
Well, that's so your feelings, I assume, are the same then, that it should be at least decriminalized.
Dude, I think they should be allowed. If they know what they're getting themselves into.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I see, you know, nicotine is probably the most addictive drug around.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people addicted to that, and it's, you know, it might not have as dramatic an impact on people, or so they might think. But it certainly is, it leads to a lot of death and destruction.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, thanks.
632-6901, 632-6500. Good morning.
Hello there. Greetings. Greetings, Eric Curley. It's your best friend calling, Mr. Radio. I have laryngitis today.
Yeah, I was about to ask. You don't sound, I mean, the intonation is the same, but the voice is different.
Yes, many things to banter here on the picnic table.
Yeah, okay.
You let that two callers ago, you let that guy ramble on for about 20 minutes, I mean.
Well, he was interesting, I thought.
Yeah, but, Tom, what do you think? He's getting all this secondhand information from Tom.
Well, Tom probably had a lot of intelligence that he was revealing, and he just didn't want to say it himself.
Yes. Now, you have to make a phone call. You know how you call all over the country, the world?
We already called Alaska.
Well, you have to make a call later tonight to Miami.
What's in Miami?
Well, there's a shock jock down there named Neil Rogers. He's the Howard Stern of Miami. He's about 45 years old, and he does a shock show.
Shock show.
Middays on WIOD.
Does this guy wake up and say, hey, I'm the Howard Stern of Miami. Wow, that makes me want to get through another day.
No.
I can't picture that somehow.
You would like him if you heard tapes of him. Now, here's the reason why I want you to call. We want to get a status report on his arrest. He was arrested in late January for doing the same thing Pee Wee Herman was doing. I don't know if it was a publicity stunt, but he was at some theater on Collins Avenue in the Miami area, and he was doing the same thing Pee Wee did.
And you think somebody would do that as a publicity stunt?
Never know. It got a lot of press, and I want to get a status on what happened to him. So call WIOD.
Can I ask, why can't you call WIOD and find out yourself?
I thought if you would be so kind. Because we're concerned about this.
Well, I don't know if we're concerned about this as much as you think we are concerned about this.
So it's very exciting.
Sure, it's probably the most exciting thing in that town, but around here, you know,
it's of a natural. It's a, you know, a Neil is very popular, and I think this is a very good national story. The same, you know, Pee Wee got all this coverage. I think Neil Rogers should get all the same coverage too. And speaking of Miami disc jockeys,
uh-huh.
The fourth disc jockey to get arrested within the last several months. So, many criminals...
What's going on down there?
I don't know. One of the program directors was arrested for doing some naughty things to children, and it's been kind of crazy.
It must be the heat.
Yes. Also, call WIOD in Miami later tonight. It's very important.
Okay. As soon as I get off the air, I'll call them.
No, call them during the air, man.
Oh, I don't know about this.
Also... I have an opinion on the right turn on red.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you have an opinion.
Well, let me voice my opinion.
All right. Why not? Go ahead.
It's time to do without this right turn on red. I'll be cruising in my ghetto cruiser, and I'll get my car up to 55 miles per hour.
Probably 55 degrees, too.
55
two wheels.
55 miles per hour. And some jaboni will cut me off. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, now, okay, perhaps we should modify the signs. And a lot of you people out there that paint graffiti on bridges and things like that, keep this in mind. Every time you see a sign that says right turn on, actually, they don't have signs that say right turn on
red. No, they only say no.
They only say no right turn on red. Okay, well, if they did have signs on right that said right turn on red, they should say right turn on red after stop and making sure that nobody's coming.
That would be a very big sign.
It would be a good sign, but a slight investment like that would pay off. Because
I mean, do you ever get that problem where you get the car cooking up to speed and then some jumbo?
Yeah, well, I have all kinds of problems. I mean, I was stuck behind somebody today that was doing 10 miles an hour on a highway, you know?
Behind me?
10 miles an hour. What is wrong with these people? What are they thinking? Are they thinking? Are they in a coma or something? That they've fallen asleep and their foot just happens to be on the gas pedal enough to make the car go 10 miles? Is their car only capable of going 10 miles an hour? I don't know. But one thing with regards to right turns on reds, which annoys me, and that's the places where you can't make right turns on reds. There's a sign that says no turn on red.
Yeah.
But where do they put that sign?
Up on top.
They put it in a place where when you stop at the light, you can't see it. You can see it as you're approaching. But then you say to yourself when you get there, wait a minute, was there a sign or wasn't there a sign? And the only way you can find out for sure is, A, either go through and see if a cop stops you and then say, oh, there was a sign, or B, back up and look, in which case the cop will probably stop you anyway to ask why you backed up in the middle of an intersection.
Yes, my third subject.
Boy,
is...
driving is a pain.
Calm down.
I'm sorry, I just get, oh.
You're too hairy.
Yeah. Let me just get a drink.
Okay, my third topic of discussion.
Thank you.
Is radio station WSHR at Sachem High School.
Ah, yes.
Now, they broadcast at 91.9 FM.
They certainly do.
And they've changed their format. They used to be like a top 40-ish radio station. Very, you know, a lot of...
Now they play jazz.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking...
And nobody else does, really.
But what I'm thinking, if I was a high school student, I want to be a DJ. And I want to work at the high school radio station. I mean, what are the chances of you know, who wants to play, what teenager wants to play jazz records?
Well, let's put it this way. Do you think they have more listeners now that they're playing something that nobody else plays, or do you think they had more listeners back when they were doing the same thing that all the other stations were doing, except doing a much poorer job at it because they were high school students?
I think the students should, you should contact the, student organization over there to find the opinion of the students, because I would...
Well, now, look, if you want to practice being a commercial DJ, why can't you practice being a commercial DJ in a room with a record player? Why do you have to broadcast that over the air?
Sure. I know some of the disc jockeys are horrible, I've heard, but at least they're playing their type of music, whether it be rock. I mean, no teenage jerk wants to play jazz records. I mean, come on.
If you can adapt and play jazz records on the air and you don't know anything about jazz, that shows that you're able to learn something and to play things that you're not familiar with. And that's the real talent of doing a radio program on a commercial station, because you're not going to know everything.
It's for the students, sir. Not for the, they're not trying to make a profit. They're trying to teach the students how to play records, how to get a job. There's not many jazz stations out there. There's going to be more top 40 or adult contemporary or rock stations.
You see, a lot of people, though, when they get involved in a radio station, they think it's some sort of a popularity contest, and they have to impress people by playing the same things. And it happens here to a degree, too, where you hear the same songs, and it's, because people aren't doing their jobs. They should be listening to other shows. They should know that this particular kind of music is being played at this particular time, so there's space for something else. When you've got so many types of music out there, someone has to cover it all.
Well, it's not maybe some other station, but not a high school station.
Well, why do you think nobody else is doing it?
They want to play Guns N' Roses. They want to play Poison. I agree with it. Who wants to hear the jazz crap?
Name me, you and Ho. About this jazz crap, name me one other radio station that is playing it. One. You know radio. Your name is Mr. Radio. You name me one station in the area that I can tune to now that will play jazz.
CD 101.9.
That's not jazz.
They're horrible. All you jazz freaks. You listen, you jazz. You smoke cigarettes. You don't shave, you hairy people. And, it's your jazz freaks. You're one of them jazz freaks.
Do they play 20-minute cuts on that station? No, they don't. They don't play solos and concerts and things like that. The thing that if you hear jazz on the air on this radio station on Saturday, Sunday afternoons, that's the kind of jazz we're talking about, where there's variety, not just the commercial things that sell products.
sir. You know, Eric, you're into this jazz.
I'm not even really into jazz myself, but I see there's a need to play different kinds of music, not just the same thing over and over again.
I think a high school station should be playing Poison on Skinny. Bop, bop, bop.
Well, okay, if you think that, it's not because they're serving any particular need, because there's other places that are playing the exact same thing. So it's just to train the people on how to play things?
Sir, it's for the
students. It doesn't take any more talent to play a Poison Ivy record than it does to play a John Coltrane record.
Sir, you know,
the record is spinning all the same.
Go back to when you were in high school. Going back, what high school did you go to?
Oh, I don't want to think about those days.
Think of one back when you were 16.
A lot of people don't want to think about those
days. You were 16, you were wearing polyester pants, and, I mean, you didn't want to play jazz at your radio station. You wanted to hear, you know, some good rock and roll, man.
Well, look, let's switch the scenario a little bit. And let's look at the first day I walked into WUSB, and I wanted to play, you know, the things that were popular back then, whatever that might have been.
E-Bach?
Well, the thing is, I wasn't allowed to do that. I wasn't allowed to play just whatever I wanted. I was told to diversify, to play something that I hadn't heard of before, to, you know, to mix it up. And at first I hated it. I couldn't stand doing things like that. But after a while you realize that if you don't do that, no one else is going to. And all these records that people put out are just going to be thrown away and never listened to by anybody.
That's what they should be.
After a while you start to like some of the things that you hear.
Oh,
and you realize that if you hadn't listened to them here, you never would have heard them anyplace.
Eric, you have been brainwashed by Norm Pruslin.
Now, wait a
minute. Charlie Backfish, you've been brainwashed.
If I listen to a record myself and I decide that I like it, who is brainwashing me? If I listen to a commercial radio station and I listen to what they decide to play and I decide if I like it or not, you know, I'm not given any choice. I'm only listening to what they want to play.
Let me tell you something there, Eric Corley. I wanted to be a disc jockey at your radio station. I, you know, sent a letter to Norm Pruslin, who is your general manager, I believe.
Right.
And, you know, there's other people in the community who have their show. But I wasn't all, you know, you have to go through a very hard process to do the show.
I think it's because of the voice you were using on us at the time. I don't think anybody could stay in the room longer than a minute while you were talking. And because we couldn't do that, we couldn't finish a conversation, so that's probably why you never really got anywhere.
Well, you know, I mean, Norm wouldn't let me do the show. I don't know why.
Well, what kind of a show did you say you wanted to do?
Something like this kind of show. Phone, open topic, loud music, and
I don't know the exact circumstances, but I know you can't just walk off the street and start doing a radio, but you have to, you know, go through training, you have to learn about the radio station, you got to do lots of things. We don't cut anybody out of that, but you got to be, you know, somewhat dedicated to what you want to do.
I've been listening for 15 years.
Otherwise, we'd have people coming in and then just losing interest and leaving. And we can't. That's why the lifetime contract is something we ask for.
Oh, God.
The positive many thousands of dollars. You know, all that kind of thing. It's necessary. But seriously, we do require some dedication.
Well, I would.
And there's no way anybody told you never to come back to this place and to stop trying. No way. No one has ever said that in this place.
What happened to, what's his name, John Connolly? Is he still here? The psychic guy?
He used to do a psychic show on Mondays. I think he's on in the afternoon sometimes. Sometime, that is. Maybe sometimes, too.
Have you seen Mike Sherrato lately?
I'm looking at a program schedule.
Okay. And Walt Scratch. What happened to Walt Scratch?
Walt Scratch is in Florida. He might know about that Miami DJ.
he retired from being a school teacher or something?
Or is he in Delaware?
Oh, really? What about Charlie Bagfish?
Charlie Backfish is still on in the mornings on Sundays. In fact, if you stay up all night, you'll hear him after Bill Lazaroff.
Oh, really? Bill Lazaroff? He worked at commercial radio.
Lots of our DJs have worked in commercial radio and still do.
What about Tony White? Give me the...
And that's something else. Anybody you ask on this radio station that works in the commercial radio station will say they would go insane if it wasn't for this place because they're so controlled wherever they go.
Oh, please.
It's true.
All right, what about Tony White? Give me the M.O. on Tony. Give me his background.
Club USB, Thursday nights.
And what kind of music does he play?
Well, he plays all kinds of music.
Is he into disco?
Well, I don't know if people like to call it disco anymore.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Now, can I take a call? One call?
You know that's not possible.
Why not?
Because the phone system here can't handle that kind of thing. You know, in the old days, with the old Centrex system, we were able to push down two buttons at once. But do you know what happens if I push down two buttons at once here?
Oh, okay. All right, let me give out my mailing address right now.
Sure, go ahead.
For anybody who would like to get my catalog on old radio shows for your information, you can write to Mr. Radio, Post Office Box 1776, South Hold, New York, the zip code 11971.
Did you have to bribe the post office to get Box 1776?
No, let's give out that address again for our handicapped people. That's P.O. Box 1776, South Hold, New York, 11971. If you would like information on my lectures, where I will be appearing, please call. Many air checks for sale, and we run a very good organization. And
all right. Well, I can't say how happy I am that you called.
Oh, okay.
I just can't say it.
What are you on WBAI?
BAI, you can catch me on Wednesday nights. That's all I'll say.
Do you do a talk show?
Call-in show of sorts, a technology show, really.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks for calling.
Super.
632-6901 is our phone number. Our area code is 516. Hey, Paul, did you see anybody with a trombone out there?
Not recently. It could have been invisible.
But did you hear it? Were you listening? Someone came through the door with a trombone and started blasting away.
I heard a tuba. I distinctly heard a tuba.
It wasn't a tuba. No, it wasn't a tuba. I saw it. I saw it sticking through. Imagine the sight of just looking through the door and seeing a trombone just sticking in. Well, maybe it was a horn of some other kind, but it definitely wasn't a tuba.
Yeah.
You couldn't fit a tuba through that door. But I don't know what's going on out there, but everything's calm?
The situation's under control.
Okay, well, that's all that matters. All right, no more musical instruments for the moment anyway, but our listeners' voices are kind of like musical instruments, and we're always happy to hear them. So let's go to one of those musical instruments right now. Good morning.
Hi, yeah, this is the infamous Tom, who the 20-minute call was referring to.
Oh, wow, so you guys are going to get more time now, huh?
Yeah, well, no, I was just kind of curious, because Mr. Radio, he's like, you know, kind of, you know, martial and militant towards jazz, you know, I mean, anybody who, like, listens to, I mean, jazz is quite, you know, wide open. I mean, you could talk about, like, you know, ragtime, I mean, Dixieland jazz, big band jazz. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, everybody, I didn't see Glenn Miller didn't have, like, a beard and long hair, and he wasn't, you know, smoking and, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of like, you know, really.
But then, you know, you could say the same thing about polka people.
Well, actually, I happen to be very good friends with Teresa Zapolska on the radio show.
See, I could sense that over the phone lines.
Could you?
I have this way of sensing things over the phone lines, yes.
Oh, that's... No, see, I kind of like... just hearing, like, Mr. Radio talk, it's just like, you know, I kind of almost, like, appreciate the weeding out system that they have at Stony Brook, like, to try out DJs and stuff.
Well, it's not... You know, we don't really weed people out, but a lot of people do, you know, lose interest when they realize that, you know, we mean it when we say we want people to be, you know, dedicated to what they do. I mean, learning how to use equipment and things like that.
Well, that's what separates you from the rest of the radio station. I mean, Sachin plays jazz, that's fine. I mean, you know, if they play, like, you know, the top 40, who would tune in to listen to them? I mean, you know, every station is top 40, you know, pretty much. I mean, you know, no one, you know, I mean, if they were going to listen to the top 40, they'd go to 20 other different places rather than, you know, Sachin High School, who probably has a very weak signal.
Exactly.
And
they'd go to
WBAB, they'd go to, you know, they'd go to, like, every radio station there is, you know.
I mean, it's fine to, you know, to play DJ and mess around, that kind of thing, but when you're doing something over the airwaves, you have to think of the people listening, too, and decide, you know, do something different, something that isn't being duplicated over and over again, and then you'll get people to listen to you, and you might actually, you know, be able to communicate with somebody.
Well, sure, they probably pick up a pretty large jazz audience tuning in also, you know.
I'd like to know if they are. I think they're on 24 hours now, too, aren't they?
Well, I'm not sure of that. I've never, you know, listened to the radio station, but I just, you know, don't see anything wrong with jazz. I mean, you know, that, like, and if, you know, if they're going to play that, they'd go to another radio station.
Right. The purpose of the station is not to sell things, and that's the purpose of all commercial stations. Whether you believe it or not, every time you listen to music on a commercial radio station, it's there to sell products. That's the reason it's on, to get people to listen so they hear the commercials, so they buy the products, so they, you know, the sales manager makes a nice commission and all that kind of thing. Now, we don't have that at non-commercial radio stations, so it's kind of silly for us to play the same music, you know, that is used for that purpose. Why not do something different that's not, you know,
creative, I don't really.
Right.
But it kind of gets back to, like, the first caller said something about that being black people. Said they already have equality. And, you know, they already have their equality and everything. We've given to them. Well, nobody's equal.
Uh-huh.
You know, they have liberty. Everybody should have liberty. You can't have liberty and equality at the same time.
You can't have liberty and equality at the same time?
You cannot.
For everybody, certainly not.
Because if you give people liberty, then people are not equal. Because they're, say, I mean, if you give people liberty to do what they want, someone's going to do a job better than someone else is going to do it.
Well, yeah, but I don't think
equal in that sense.
But yeah, it's not that sense. Equality in a different sense. Equality, you know, as far as what you are afforded, what you are given, you know, opportunities you have. And yes, it's going to be harder for some people because of their background and things like that. But everybody should get something, get access to something.
Well, it's kind of like if you give people the liberty to do what they want.
Right.
They will earn what they want. If you give people liberty, I say that, you know, treat black people free. You treat them liberty, you treat them as their own person, their own thing. And kind of like this, you know, I think more like with the job quotas, what they're doing is they're forcing people, you know, and history shows that they're making more of like a negative statement by putting in job quotas. You know, they're actually saying, well, you know, and what they do is they just say, well, you know, they might hire a certain amount of, you know, black people, women, whatever. They'll hire them on their own terms. If they're forced to do it, then they'll just hire that, you know.
Right. I agree with you. I don't think that ever actually solves anything. And I think whenever you hire somebody based on their race or sex, it's wrong. Because, you know, and two wrongs don't make a right. But there does have to be a way of rectifying tremendous inequality, and I don't know exactly what that way is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, affirmative action doesn't really do much for either side, I don't think, and there shouldn't really be sides in this anyway.
Well, it's like, you wanted to know why the Libertarian Party, like, you don't hear about them, because they're not, you know, they're not like, this country's, like, so locked into a two-party system.
Uh-huh.
That it's almost, like, impossible, which it is, as, you know, the caller was saying before, And the thing is, if you look on February 9th, Newsday, they have, you know, who the candidates are. They have, you know, you have your five Democrats, and you have your two Republicans, you know, and then there's, you know, and who they are and what they stand for, you know, pretty much stand for the same thing. They just, you know, change it like a little shade, you know, it's just a different value.
Right. Yeah, it's cosmetic at best.
Well, it's like, and then they say the people, you know, others who would be president, and they go on about, like say, Lenora Flani of the New Alliance Party. Who, like, you know, which she is, like, I don't know if you've ever heard her talk. Have you ever heard about her?
No, and why don't you tell us something about the New Alliance Party, too?
The New Alliance Party, they're kind of like, they had on a Cryer & Company on CNN, they were interviewing Nancy Lord, who's the vice president of Canada for the Libertarian Party, and was also a very articulate and educated woman. They had, and then they were interviewing some lady from the Green Party, which is, like, from California, the Green Party of California, which is kind of like a very environmentalist type group that,
right.
You know, thinks that the way to solve environmental problems is to force the government to pass things when it really, like, you know, takes away, you know, personal. I mean, someone dumps garbage in your front lawn,
uh-huh.
You can't do anything about it. You can't sue them. That right was taken away when they created the EPA.
Uh-huh.
You know, now it's the government's responsibility to take care of that. But the New Alliance Party is, Lenora Flani says, their party stands for equality and social justice, which is kind of really open-ended. What is social justice, you know?
Right.
I mean, social justice is kind of, you know, I mean...
And social justice for who?
Exactly. Who, you know, for who, by who, who's responsible for it. But they're actually, what they really are is, in my opinion, is they're just another, like kind of like a third party with a very socialist shade towards them. Because, you know, they're just very towards, she's like, one of her things is that she wants to get more democracy, more democracy, more democracy. She constantly emphasizes that. And it's like, you know, it's like, well, democracy is it's a very good thing and it gets your voice heard. But democracy can also, you know, like, what does a democracy say? The Congress says, yeah, you know, we want to murder anybody under 3 years old, and that's a democracy, majority rule, and they can pass it. You know, it's a, you know, democracy and majority rule are only good to a certain point.
Uh-huh. Well, but where do you draw the line, and who draws that line?
Exactly, exactly. You know, that's, but, and it's kind of like the media controllers. I mean, they have nothing to gain from the Libertarian Party. I mean, the newspapers actually told the truth. There's too much to lose by telling the truth, you know.
Right.
So what they do is, if you read the Newsday article, you know, others who would be president, this, you know, Lenore Fawn, and, you know, and they have, like, comedians running, you know, they're like, oh, this comedian so-and-so is running for president, and they have, I can't actually remember his name, some reverend from down south who wants to run America God's way.
Uh-huh. Oh.
What is he going to do, be the Speaker of the House? God, you know, he's going to...
Well, if God is interested, I think he should be allowed to say something.
Well, I don't know, but, and it's kind of like, and there's no mention, absolutely no mention of the Libertarian Party,
uh-huh.
Which is, the New Alliance Party is not even like their own party. They just kind of like jump in the sack with the Democrats and say, you know, Lenore Fawney is actually looking to run on a Democratic ticket. And there's absolutely no mention of the Libertarian Party. So what it's kind of like is what they're trying to get across is they actually make fun of, you know, they're like, oh, you know, comedians run on a third party. You know, all third parties are a joke. So someone, you know, someone comes up to you and says, oh, you know, the Libertarian Party. And they go, well, what is that? You go, a third party. They go, third parties are a joke, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And it's, and they, you know, very much played down in the media about Andre Moreau winning, you know, 11 out of 32 votes, you know, in New Hampshire.
You can't count on the media to get the message across. It's sad. I mean, that's what they're there for. But the only way to get things like this out are to, you know, get public attention in another way. You know,
well,
I don't know exactly what to tell you, how to get it out there, but I guess, you know, talking to people on the radio is one step.
Exactly. You beat me to the punch there. Yeah. You know.
It's one step, but, you know, you got to get things in the papers and you got to, you know, get things into people's hands. And when people, you know, if people are able to say why they don't like libertarians, that's a step forward because at least they know who they are. You see?
Yeah, exactly.
So at least, you know, if you can't get people to recognize you, at least get people to, you know, to understand who, you know, who the libertarians are and why they don't like them or why they do like them, and that will lead to, you know, more people recognizing them.
The whole big problem is they weren't even invited to New Hampshire, and the big, you know, the big open presidential debate they had, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans, the libertarians were not invited. The reason for that is as Nancy Lord said in Cryer and Company, is if they gave the Libertarians 20 minutes on the platform, they'd probably convert at least about 60% of the audience, because if, you know, most people deal on a Libertarian, you know, basis in their regular lives.
Uh-huh.
Libertarian, the, you know, the Oxford definition of that in the dictionary is like free will. That,
right.
That's pretty much the definition of it, is free will. And most people, whether they realize it or not, deal on a Libertarian basis with most people. Their whole, you know, I mean, you know, I don't think you can get by really in this society, you know, acting, you know, as a totalitarian or authoritarian or, you know, statist. I mean, you know, you wouldn't get very far.
True. Listen, I got to move on.
No problem. I appreciate it very much, and take it easy. Have a good night.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901, 632-6500, and talking about political parties as well as other things. Yeah, there's a lot of political parties out there, folks. A lot of them. It's like there's a lot of rock bands, you know, that play different kinds of music. A lot of different kinds of music as well. And if you don't actively seek them out, you'll probably miss them because, you know, there's a lot of unfairness out there as far as equality and access to the press and that kind of thing. It can change, but there's got to be a desire for it to change. And that's one of the things that we talk about almost constantly here on Brain Damage. It's 25 minutes after 1 o'clock, and we'll be on until 2. So give us a call. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
All right. What was I going to say?
It's been a while, hasn't it?
No, I was going to say something about the election and stuff, and I'm dead serious about this, I got to say. My solicitor's teacher told me that in the 88 election, there were about 2,000 or 3,000 people that voted for Mickey Mouse.
Well, you know, that would make Mickey Mouse, you know, a contender of some sort, I guess.
No, seriously, like, it's like for people who just undecided, they're registered to vote, but they didn't like Bush or this Dukakis, you're allowed to write in somebody else.
True.
And he said, over the country, they counted about 3,000 people voted for Mickey Mouse.
Well, you know, it's people vote for the first person on their mind sometimes.
No, but I mean, I think, you know, I think Mickey Mouse will make a better president than George Bush. But another controversy surrounding Mickey Mouse. Did you hear that him and Minnie Mouse were getting a divorce?
No, I hadn't heard anything about that.
I don't know. It's like really, really strange. Yeah, he said that. Mickey said that Minnie was fucking goofy.
Good morning. Anybody there?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, well, first of all, I would want to say that I really enjoy your show.
Okay.
And also I think that you should give a limit to the callers just for about 10 minutes maybe, because some people really try to call and they can't get through for a really long time.
Yeah, 10 minutes is a long time for one person. I'll give you that.
Yep.
If it goes over 10 minutes, yeah, that's my fault. It shouldn't go that long.
Yeah, well, it gets sometimes really boring, too.
Uh-huh.
And, have you ever seen Clockwork Orange?
Oh, yeah, many times.
Well, I've been trying to find it in local, video stores, and I couldn't find it, really.
Really? What do they say? They don't stock it?
Well, they say they don't have it, really, so I was wondering if they banned it totally from the market, because it's a controversial movie, isn't it?
It's controversial, but I don't think it's banned anywhere. If anybody out there knows where they can get it, give us a call in, but I'm sure there's video stores that have it. You tried the major change, I guess, right?
I tried Blockbuster.
Yeah, well, Blockbuster, they don't have a lot of things, I'll tell you. The store is run by, I'll just say, a group that's sort of on the religious right. And if you don't believe that, try getting Last Temptation of Christ at a Blockbuster video. Try asking for it. And if you do it on the phone, you'll notice that there's sort of a silence after you ask for it.
Uh-huh.
And that's when they are looking in the book, and it says, you know, to, you know, make sure you get the phone number of anybody that asks for this film. And they'll say, they'll get it for you, but you have to buy it for some huge amount of money. But they won't rent it to you.
Why, is it rated X or something?
No, it's not rated X. It's just there was a bit of a controversy when it came out because it was looked upon as being defamatory towards Christ or things like that. And, you know, they just made a value judgment on it. Another thing that you will see in many places, in fact, I even saw this in my own library, they cut bits of films. You know, you see a film, and you know there's more in the film,
mm-hmm.
but for some reason it's not there, and it's because they've edited it, and that's so horrible. When you pay for a video, you should be seeing the whole film as that you know you were supposed to see in the first place.
They do it sometimes on TV, though, but...
On TV, yes, but you expect it on TV. You expect commercials, you expect interruptions, you expect editing of some sort. It's ridiculous, I know. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, everybody has heard the language, and they've seen, you know, human bodies. They know what they look like. But we have to restrict people. We have to, you know, keep them protected from God knows what. But when you buy a video or rent a video, you should be getting the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I watched Monty Python and the Holy Grail just tonight.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering, why did they cut it right at the end?
Well, was it on TV?
No, it wasn't on TV. I rented it also.
They cut it? What part did they cut?
They didn't cut it. They just stopped it. Like right in the middle of the movie.
Oh, you mean where they put the end?
Yeah, and they put the...
Okay, picture this. Picture this, because I was around when this film came out in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody is in the theater watching the film, and all of a sudden, you know, it says the end. Crowds of people would get up and start walking towards the back, and then the film would come on again. It was a joke. It was great. It's like the three-sided record.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't have the same effect on video. But when you see these films, you always got to keep in mind that this was originally in a large theater. And we used to have large theaters only a few years ago. It's ironic that all the theaters are being replaced by video stores.
Mm-hmm.
Literally the same buildings are now video stores. I would like to see a single theater someplace. First of all, a single theater that just has one screen. But I'd like to see one that has, you know, older films. You know, like films from the 40s, 50s. And you see those on the big screen like they originally were. And they will have so much more of an impact when you see them there.
I think they have them somewhere. I think in the city,
uh-huh.
some places, but I'm really not sure where. But
yeah, I'm sure they do in the city, too, and I'm sure it's too much to hope for Long Island. But, you know, I'm sure it would be popular. I'm sure you get a crowd down there.
But maybe many people think that they're for old people, you know, who were the day 40s generation who want to see those movies.
Again, it's the same thing of just reaching out and learning about something you don't know all that much about, whether it's a particular lifestyle or, you know, a particular kind of film. A lot of people can't handle foreign films of any sort. You know, you put subtitles on and people walk away, you know?
Well, maybe because people are not familiar with the customs, you know, of the foreign country.
Right, but...
So a lot of things are not understood.
But you learn, you know? You learn about other customs, and it's you know, you realize that either your customs are good or bad or, you know, just different.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with learning about, you know, different ways of life.
But I think American movies are very, very high quality.
Uh-huh. Well, they certainly have a lot of money pumped into them, that's for sure. And a lot of times they're very good, you know, storylines, good acting, good plot structure, that kind of thing. But a lot of times it's just, you know, like the commercial radio, it's just meant to sell products.
Oh, I also like that your radio is non-commercial because commercials, I think, they really distract people. When they watch a certain show or a movie, they kind of lose the thought, you know, about what the show is going on.
Right.
And your radio station is really great because it doesn't have the commercials, so you never, you know, you always know what what the DJ is talking about.
And you know that there's nobody up there telling us what not to talk about. And that's the most important thing. When you have a sponsor, you got to be careful not to offend the sponsor in any way. And there's all kinds of ways to offend sponsors. Oh boy, if you work in commercial radio, playing a certain song might offend the sponsors. You know, talking about a certain subject might offend the sponsor someplace. So you always have to keep that in mind. And the sponsor is money, and money is what runs the station. With our station, we depend on our listeners, you know, to keep us going. In fact, good time to mention this. We're going to be asking for that support again later in March. It's now March 1st. We'll be asking for that on starting on the 15th. And we're extremely close to moving our tower now. Our new tower is being built on Bald Hill, so hopefully this will be the year we do it and effectively double the listening range.
Maybe you can expand the time of brain damage so more people can call.
Oh, that would be nice.
And maybe talk.
I'll get paid twice as much, but that won't amount to anything, actually.
Maybe you can be the co-workers with Matt. Maybe, you know, maybe more DJs.
Yeah, oh, sure. We always have room for, you know, expansion of various kinds.
Okay, can I say hello to a couple of people?
Go right ahead.
I'd like to say hi to Linda, Lisa, Leah, and Rachel, and also Jason, who's in Michigan State University. He probably can't hear me, but he'll somehow get the message. And I want to say hello to Charlie from Rocky Point, who I've met recently, and I hope I'll get in touch.
Okay.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
632-6901, area code 516, or 632-6500, also area code 516. I want you to hear something. These sounds are... I guess I'll tell the story first. I just saw this in a clipping that somebody was going to throw away in the garbage. I found it, and it was about, I think it took place in Queens or someplace around there, where another story of, you know, another one of the stories of a roommate killing another roommate. It happens all the time here at Stony Brook, but this happened in the real world, and, you know, they were arguing over a song, and this person would not stop playing the same song over and over and over again. And finally, the other roommate, I don't know, he must have said something so insulting that the first person felt it was necessary for him to stop breathing, and he did. And that was the end of that. But the interesting part of the story was the fact that the song itself was one of my favorites. Yeah, Hocus Pocus by Focus. Isn't that something? And no doubt, this guy was playing the extended album version. All right, we're not gonna go crazy here, but we'll play maybe a minute of it, and then we'll come back to the phone calls. Okay, now I'll mention it over and over and over again. We'll keep it underneath us, and that will give you an idea of what was going on in that particular instance. And this song, the album version especially, goes on for quite a few times. And I guess for somebody to keep playing it over and over again, maybe it would drive you crazy. We'll see if we can drive anybody else crazy. Paul's here, and he's going to be on at 2 o'clock. Is that right?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. And he's got a special show planned.
Okay.
What's a special show?
Well, what I'm saying this, you know, beforehand, before the show, so you all can be prepared. What I have done is taking some of the more romantic songs that I know of, the songs that, you know, get the gonads working.
Ah, yes.
Those songs. And I've put them together in some sort of mix. And the idea is between 2 and 4 for as many of my listeners as possible to have sex.
Ah.
Yes, we want serious sexing going on.
Uh-huh.
I just want to do...
Is that what that gathering out in the newsroom is all about?
I have to be out here for that.
Okay.
So I'm sort of disappointed.
Right.
But I just want to let everyone, you know, out there to know what's going to happen. So I want you to be prepared. I don't want to, you know, start a little mini baby boom or anything like that.
Are you playing Freebird?
That's more of a back car, you know, back of the car type of thing. I'm thinking,
it's just
back sweeping.
Okay.
But just wanted to let everyone know to be prepared.
This is my favorite part of the song. Listen. They're from Holland, you know. They never played that on the single, you know. When this song was popular back in the mid-70s, they only had three little lyrics, whatever you call these things. And that was one of the ones you got on the album. I almost had to kill someone to get the album.
See, that's probably what happened. The guy just went to the album in Queens.
Well, yeah, the media does distort things, so it could be. It could very well be.
It's been a desire for the album as opposed to an actual aversion to it.
Yeah. Hocus Pocus by Focus. Straight out of Holland. They're all crazy over there. You might even have some of them listening.
Yeah, it might have to do with, you know, the dams and the dikes that they keep up, you know, the water out and everything.
It could very well.
It's the only thing I could think of offhand about Dutch people.
You didn't say wooden shoes.
It could be the shoes. I mean, if I had to wear wooden shoes all day, that could possibly drive me to insanity.
Of course, nobody over there that I saw wears wooden shoes. And they laugh when you ask them about them.
Uh-huh.
All right, 632-6901, 632-6500. Those are our phone numbers. We're going to take a few more calls before the 2 o'clock
love fest
begins. Ah, yes, only on USB. Good morning, you're on the air.
Hello, Eric.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Just great. Just wonderful. Thanks for asking.
No problem.
What's on your mind?
I want to say hi to Pam. She's a very beautiful girl. I like her a lot.
Okay.
And where are you in between calls?
Where are the immature callers?
Yeah, they usually call in and scream and stuff.
I don't know about that. I don't know. I think we've had our fill of immature people tonight.
Oh, which one?
Well, I don't remember them by name because they didn't give their names, but, you know, a few of them. You know, the one that was on before, you know, a few calls ago. That one?
Oh, my name is Gary.
And then there's the other one, too. Yeah, good morning.
Hello?
How you doing?
Hi, I don't want to think I'm immature or anything.
I like this part, too, of the song. Yeah.
Well, that's good, but I just want to tell you a little story that I was with my friends, and they always make fun of me for it. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
Well, I walk through the hallway, and people always make fun of me because I have a big head, and I don't think it's funny.
It's not the size of your head that matters, it's what's inside, and I think you should be more concerned with that. Good morning.
Oh?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I just like to say hi to a couple people.
Okay, go ahead, that's what we're here for.
Hi, Jessica.
Jessica's right here. Jessica's right here. Jessica, you want to say... She doesn't want to say anything right now. Sorry, go ahead.
And hi to, Blondie and Trisha, I love you.
Blondie again. You called last week, didn't you?
No.
Well, now look, this is the second time in my life I've ever heard of a real person named Blondie. And it was on this radio show last week that I heard about it before. So, you know, it's got to be the same Blondie, right? Yeah, I'm sure it is. Good morning.
Oh, how are you doing?
They always get upset when you like, recognize them. But, yes, how are you?
Did you ever try to mix green and blue to mix yellow?
What?
Did you ever try to mix green and blue to mix yellow?
Not recently. Good morning.
Hey, Eric, how's it going, cool guy?
It's going okay. It's going okay.
First, can I just, like, explain something to that Marty Python person?
Hang on, we got the grand finale here.
All right.
All right, then we lift up the tone arm, we... Put it back at the beginning of the song here, and we play it all over again. Okay, now go ahead and you talk while we do this the second time.
I just want to explain to that woman about the Monty Python.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, early in the movie, they killed that famous historian guy.
Right, I remember that.
That's why they got arrested at the end of the movie, so they couldn't go on because they were all arrested, so that's how the movie ended.
Well, no, she was referring to the middle of the film where all of a sudden it says the end.
Intermission.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was it intermission?
Yeah,
okay,
intermission.
I was wrong. Yes, you're right. Intermission. And all these people get up and you know, just it's a 10-second intermission.
Yeah, play the cool song.
Right.
Anyway.
They used to have intermissions in films.
What?
They used to have intermissions all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where you go get popcorn and stuff.
Right, exactly. And go to the bathroom, you know? Things like that.
Anyway, my friends and I were over to Kansas a little while ago.
The State University of New York at Stony Brook?
Yeah, so we were going to bring you a gift.
Uh-huh. What was that?
Oh, I can't tell you. It's a surprise.
Okay, but if you're not going to do it now, you said you were going to.
Well, we were stopped by security.
Ah.
Because they said we weren't on the guest list, and they made it very difficult for us. So as decent law-abiding citizens, we left and didn't cause any problems.
The university has a guest list?
Yeah, they said in order to get onto the campus, you have to have a guest list. You have to be on a guest list by a student of some sort or something.
So the university has turned into this giant club.
Yeah.
Wow, that's something.
Pretty cool, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was there once before.
Well, you know, I'm sorry you weren't able to make it on, but they do control, you know, that's why we have the parachute, you know.
The what?
The parachute feature for our listeners in case they want to visit us. For a small fee, you can get an airplane, it's not a helicopter anymore, is it? No, it didn't quite work out. An airplane to drop you over to campus.
No kidding.
Well, it's a question as to where you're going to land. Hopefully you'll land on the ground, not on top of one of the buildings.
Well, maybe I can land on that cool bridge that goes across right by the...
That would be great if you did that, because that goes right to the building.
Yeah.
Yeah, except it's crumbling, but apart from that, it's a good bridge.
It's crumbling?
In places, yeah.
I'm not walking across that thing no more.
Well, if you walk across it, just, you know, walk lightly.
Yeah, right.
And don't walk with a lot of people.
No, I won't. But anyway, see, it's something serious here.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you hear about that guy in the city that, was it, he was a bishop? They shot him?
People get shot all the time, but I'm not sure about this one. Tell me about it.
There was this Greek Orthodox bishop.
Uh-huh.
And these three guys mugged him and shot him.
Well, I mean, it shows that nobody is immune.
The thing I don't understand is how do you shoot a clerical worker of any denomination?
How do you shoot a little kid?
No, I know.
You know
that.
How do you shoot any human, really?
No,
you know?
A priest. I could never bring myself to shooting a priest.
Could you bring yourself to shooting anybody else, though? I mean, an innocent bystander of any kind?
No innocent bystander, but especially a priest. I mean, if anything's a ticket to hell, shooting a priest, you know, or a nun, or a rabbi, or a Buddhist monk, or a Hare Krishna, or whatever.
Well,
just anybody. I mean...
I'm of the belief that shooting anybody is wrong, whether it's a cop, whether it's a priest, whatever. And, you know, if God's out there, I think he would take a dim view of people who shoot anybody.
No, shooting anybody is wrong, but, I mean, just for the most part, a priest. I mean, this guy, it's obvious he's no threat to you.
Uh-huh.
The same thing with, you know, a little kid, like you said, but a priest, right?
Right.
He's walking down the street minding his own business, and he was in his full clerical garb.
Uh-huh.
Right? And was there any?
Was there? Well, first of all, mugging him in the first place is something. But was there any indication that this was of a religious nature?
No, it was. There were these. I know. It's these three black thugs. That's what was on the news. And they mugged him because they were just looking for people to mug. They had mugged a couple of other people, and they had, you know, then they saw this priest going down the street and they mugged him.
Uh huh.
I mean, that really got me angry. I'm looking at a priest. You know, because I, you know,
they like it. It's
well,
they
I mean, you know, it. Old ladies get mugged all the time.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that's horrible, too, because they're much less likely to be able to defend themselves.
Yeah.
And we've sort of gotten immune to that, and we shouldn't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, these people before were talking about this Libertarian Party.
Right.
What the hell is that? I never heard of it.
Well, you seem to be approaching it with hostility.
I mean,
why'd you
like,
ask what it is without saying what the hell is it? You know, it's another party. It's a party that believes in things differently.
Well, I hate to tell them, but I really don't think they have any chance at this election.
Okay, why is that?
Because they don't have enough money to finance a real campaign.
Okay, whose fault is that?
Whose fault is that?
Yeah.
It's nobody. It's their own fault.
Well, how do you think they should solve that problem?
By going out and having more fundraisers.
Okay, so where's the disagreement here? That's what they're doing.
But then they should also go around photocopying things and smacking them on telephone poles. Go
okay.
for this person. Go for that person.
Okay, good suggestions here.
Right, because, I mean, like, that. The only reason why I heard of that Lenore Filomi or whatever the hell her name is
uh-huh.
was because she was on 9 Broadcast Plaza.
Okay, well, I mean, that's a start getting on, you know, TV programs. And by the way, she's not a Libertarian, she's New Alliance.
Yeah, no, I know that.
Right.
And she, I don't know, she was a moron. She couldn't even answer questions on the show trying to be a presidential candidate.
Okay, but you're able to judge her. Is that not what it's all about?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's true. But
so you should be able to judge all these people yourself, not have somebody else do it and then tell you what the choice is.
But most of these third-party guys, I mean, every year, well, every 4 years, when you go in... You I mean, how do you expect you to, you know, vote for them if you don't even know who they are?
Well, I don't notice a whole lot of people running for president. I notice a whole lot of positions open for, you know, county sheriff and dog catcher and that kind of thing, which you don't even know what the position is. But as far as presidential candidates, I mean, look, we're a huge country. We should have lots of presidential candidates because
oh,
we have lots of
but,
people.
But there should be, you know, when you know that presidential campaign fund thing, on your tax thing,
yeah.
just give a dollar, right? First of all, if they're going to give a dollar, it should go to everybody, and then this way you maybe you'd hear from all these people.
True.
Another thing with that
you
dollar
you got to figure
thing,
there's a lot of people out there that have something to say.
With that thing with the dollar?
Hang on, the song is ending again. I have to put it back. I'm starting to get tired of this song, actually.
Actually, it's a pretty cool song, actually.
It's a great song, but I'm trying to see if I get in a murderous mood after hearing it a few times. Maybe it's got something to do with that.
I don't know. I'm getting kind of violent here.
Yeah, well, before the Love Fest, we'll have a violence fest.
Cool. Does that include bestiality, that Love Fest?
I'm sure there's a crossover section.
Cool.
Yeah, probably come around. What's that? That can be arranged, yeah. Probably around 3 o'clock, I would say, for that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, about Mr. Gaffney.
Right.
Now he, like, supposedly cut all the cops.
Well, you mean cut their funding?
No, like, February 1st or something like that, he, like, cut half the cops down or something like that.
Okay.
Cut a lot of them.
Right.
Them off or whatever.
Yeah, they didn't like that too much.
Well, ever since then, I've seen more and more cops than I've ever seen in my entire life.
Well, what have you been up to?
No, I just like to know if how he cut all these cops, and I see more and more of them all the time.
Maybe they're concentrated in different areas.
Well,
maybe you're just lucky.
Now they're doing their job. Mr. Gaffney's doing something, right?
Well, that's an interesting interpretation of it, but I don't know. You know, I haven't seen an increase or a decrease myself, but that doesn't mean anything because, you know, first of all cops aren't out in cars, you know, patrolling. They're doing different things. Some are walking streets, some are, you know, I came out wrong. Some of them are walking on streets. Some of them are, you know, are desk jobs.
Ever since he did, you know, laid off cops on that February 1st thing that everybody's making a big deal about, I've seen more and more cops everywhere. Every time you turn a corner, you know?
Uh-huh.
There's a cop every time you turn a corner, there's a cop, you know, you go away with it. And they're not sitting in the 7-Elevens anymore. I mean, some of them still are. But the majority of them are pulling people over.
Well, I don't think they sit in 7-Elevens because they've got nothing to do. I think, well, maybe they are. You know, I don't know. I don't know why they sit in 7-Elevens.
Well, maybe
they're
just getting a Slurpee because they're thirsty.
Or maybe they're staking out a crime scene. Who knows? Who knows what goes on in 7-Eleven?
Maybe.
That's one of the things we're always asking here. Listen, I'm going to move on to another phone call.
Sure. Trout?
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for calling so much. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good.
Hey,
went to the third verse already.
Hey, this song's making me crazy.
It is, isn't it? It's an amazing. Did you ever hear it before?
Oh, lots of times.
Yeah, okay. Everybody's familiar with this song then.
You know, it's another good one. It's Get Ready by Rare Earth.
Yeah, but they're not Dutch.
No, that's all right.
Okay. I just wanted to point that out.
Over and over and over and over and over again.
That's true. This isn't an album size. This is one of four songs, I think, on the side.
Anything over and over will make you crazy.
I don't even know if this is on CD, you know? Because this is on vinyl, and if I keep playing it like this, I'm going to wear it out.
Hey, listen, that Mr. Radio guy?
Yeah.
Is he a crybaby or what?
You know, we've been trying to determine that for years now, and we just can't think of a proper word to describe him. There's so many that we want to use, but if you use that, it's unfair for all the other words that you want to use as well, you know? So we can't think of one all-encompassing word.
Yeah, I think crybaby would be putting him up a little too high. I mean,
yeah, but you see, that doesn't take into account any of the, you know, standoffishness and I don't know, egotism. It doesn't take that into account. It doesn't take into, you know, just the inflated ego type of a thing. You know, crybaby is good. I like crybaby. I think that's a good phrase, but there's just so much that it doesn't say, you know?
Yeah, I think there's too many crybabies in the world. Everybody's interested in everybody else's business instead of their own.
Uh-huh.
Nobody wants to talk for 10 minutes. You know, it's your show. You do what you want. You want to hang up on somebody, hang up.
Well, you know, 10 minutes is a long time for one person to talk. I will say that. And when, you know, when you're calling for a long, long period of time, and you hear the phone ringing over and over again, you get kind of upset when somebody just drones on and on about something you're not interested in. So you got to be, you got to try to be fair to as many people as possible.
Yeah, but you made a point. Most of the people that you held on for a long time were talking about something interesting, for crying out loud.
Well, I thought so.
You know, otherwise, if you want to talk about going to the mall and saying hi, Debbie, and hi, Joey, and this and that, you know.
Hi, Blondie.
Yeah, I could call up my friends and say hi to them. Why don't you call up your friends and say hi instead of doing it on the air? You know, you can say, ooh, I said hi to my friends on the air. You know, big schmear.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's something that's good the first time you do it. But about the fourth or fifth time, it starts to get, you know, kind of old.
I think it's a typical example of peer pressure.
That's true, too.
And I think that's one of the main problems that we're facing today. You mentioned prison.
Yeah.
At the top of the show.
The theme of the show is prison.
I haven't heard too much about it.
Well, prisons have been sort of the theme throughout, an underlying theme. We haven't really been talking about it. But, yes, prisons, that's the subject tonight.
I think besides the prisons like Attica State and all that stuff, I think a lot of us are imprisoned in our own bodies and stuff. One of the Pink Floyd's, leading lives of quiet desperation.
Right. Yeah. They've had it a couple of times, actually.
See the movie Pump Up the Volume?
I almost did, but I didn't.
Ah, check it out. This guy, he's a pirate radio guy, and he's really, really, it's a really interesting story. It makes you think. You know?
Uh-huh.
I like to say that the questions you ask are more important than the answers to the questions. But this guy, man, you know, don't sit around, get up and do something. You know, do anything, but do something. Don't sit on your can leading a life of quiet desperation.
Yeah.
Break out of the jail, break out of the prison.
I saw a bumper sticker said, lead, follow, or get out of the way, but do something.
But do something, there you go.
Yeah.
What I don't like, though, what are the stats on prisoners? How much thousands of dollars does it cost a year to keep a guy in jail?
Well, I mean, how many people should be in jail for what they do? I mean, of course, violent criminals should be kept apart from society.
I think they should be doing something productive.
Like?
Hey, I live in Deer Park, and the roads are terrible sometimes. You know, coming up on spring, there's potholes all over the place.
Uh-huh.
You know, I saw Cool Hand Luke.
Well, yeah, the Cool Hand Luke chopped off the head of a parking meter. I don't think he should be in jail for that.
Well, for whatever reason a person's in jail, they should be out doing something. I mean, the road gangs, all right, granted, there were problems back then. And there were civil rights abuses of the prisoners. But, you know, what rights should a prisoner have? Now, that's a problem in and of itself. What right does a murderer or a rapist have?
Well,
he's given up his right by doing that. So make him work.
Well, I'm going to answer that in a second.
$5,000 a year.
I'm putting the record back, and since we don't have enough time, I'm going to play it at 45, which we've never done before. But I don't know how comfortable people would be seeing a chain gang going through town paving a road, knowing that they were a bunch of murderers paving your road. I don't know if people would react to that well. You know what I mean?
Oh, we got to get something back for all the taxes we're paying. You know, we're paying all this money for taxes, right?
Uh-huh.
But what's it going to? What percentage is going for prisons? What percentage is going for welfare? What are we getting back for our money? What are we getting back for what we're paying?
Well,
you know?
We're entitled to answers.
County, you know, this one guy said, you know, he's seeing the police all over the place. Okay, granted, maybe the police are visible. There's more cruisers out, you know, replacing maybe desk jobs with civilian jobs. I don't know. What happens when you need a cop and you call him and he doesn't come for 10 minutes instead of 5 minutes? You know? Where are our taxes going? How many people are in jail? Maybe we could get them working, earning their jail money, and give the money to the cops and have more cops.
If it's as simple as that, but lots of times it isn't.
There's never a simple answer to anything.
All right, and you know, a lot of things are grossly distorted and exaggerated by politicians at election time, you know, like the whole Willie Horton thing. You know, it's you gotta take everything with a grain of salt and reach your own conclusions. You know, it's not always because we spend money on welfare we don't have money for other things. That's, you know, I never buy that. I mean, yeah, there's welfare fraud and things like that, but you know, for the most part, if we're wasting money, I don't think it's there. I think it's on other things.
It doesn't matter where it is. That's the kind of thing that should be looked at. But
yeah, it should always be looked at. I agree with that.
But people, it's easier to go with the flow. You know, I mentioned peer pressure. You know, with the young kids, hey, it's just as effective on the adults.
Oh yeah.
Into a bureaucratic job. It's just as easy to go with the flow than to be different, than to be unique, than to be yourself. And you get caught up, and you're just another number on file.
True.
I gave blood on Monday, and I said, hey, I'm not just another pretty arm, you know. I was joking around. But you got to be somebody. You got to be individual. You have to be unique. And you got to stand up for your rights. And if you're 18 to 24 and you're out there and you're listening, register and vote, and it'll make a difference.
That's right. Good point. Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you for being there.
All right. We can get one more in. Good morning.
Hello.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
How much time do I have to talk?
About a minute.
A minute?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I would just like to say a couple things.
Okay.
All right, one, I just want to piss that other guy off that he said that he had some people calling to say hi to their friends.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not too into that stuff myself, but I think I'll do it anyway.
Oh, it sounds like you're saying hi to him.
Not really. The guy sounded like a bastard.
Okay.
But, I want to say something about, what was that, the KKK deal?
Yeah.
I think that guy was a lot of people did, but I'm going to say hi to my meathead friends.
Okay.
All right, let's see, Mike the Meathead, Vita.
Mike the Meathead, like Mike on TV, the Meathead?
Oh, like...
a different Mike the Meathead.
Oh, like literally fat. I think he's the kid that called in before about the fat head and pushing him around in the locker room and stuff.
Oh, he really does have a big head, huh?
Yeah, his head is really big, and I'm one of those people that make fun of him.
Ah, well, I shouldn't make fun of people for the size of their heads or the size of any of the other organs of their bodies, but never mind that.
You're being quick there with the Pepe.
Uh-huh.
And, Vita... that's pretty self-explanatory, like the Beatles and stuff.
Uh-huh. Thank you for calling. Good morning.
Hi. I was wondering if you'd be interested in a promo ID spot from Harry Nielsen?
Sure.
Because I'm going to be meeting him in about 2 weeks from now.
You're going to be meeting the Harry Nielsen?
Yeah, from he's going to be a special guest at a Beatles Fest convention in New Jersey.
Wow.
So this is about my fourth or fifth time meeting Harry.
So he must know you pretty well by now.
Just an acquaintance. So I will be getting you a promo ID spot from Nielsen.
Okay, great. And, you know, if he can say something about our fundraiser, that would be nice, too, because we got that coming up on the 15th.
Oh, I could do that. That would be no problem.
Hey, we appreciate it. Every little bit counts.
I called up earlier, and I was only joking about being the director of the KKK.
I knew you were.
You know, I just wanted to...
We all know the KKK doesn't have a director.
Yeah.
They have a president.
I just wanted to apologize if I offended anyone. I just wanted to let people know what was happening on the TV, and I got a weird sense of humor.
Okay, well, we cater to people with weird senses of humor, and we're glad you're able to clear that up for us. So we're going to have to end there because we're out of time, and it's time for the Love Fest to begin. And it's also time to stop playing Hocus Pocus by Focus because it resulted in already some violence here, and we don't want any more of that. Okay, Brain Damage is over. We'll be back again next week from 12 to 2. Thanks to everybody who called up, and keep listening to USB. Keep thinking, keep asking questions, and keep getting into trouble in whatever way you can, I guess. This is WUSB Stony Brook. And by the way, this is the song that follows Hocus Pocus by Focus on the album, the one they never play on the radio. And we're probably not going to play it either, but it's good music for me to get out of here by, so see you later.
Listening to Paul Weissman on WUSB 90.1 FM. That is 90.1 on your FM dial. That is the dial you're tuned to. That is not the soap. That is the actual radio. What I have here is indeed... Lovefest is too crude a word for it. Let's think. I mean, we should have a title for this. Heck. Why actually indulge with a title? I mean, use your imagination. That's what it's there for. That's what we're expounding here at WUSB. That's why I'm doing this. So, make sure you have your loved one by you. Make sure, you know, you're protected, you know, from various things, because we don't want to put a damper on this evening. If you're alone, I don't know what to tell you. Tape it maybe for future use. That's the best I can say, you know. I can't actually condone... I don't want to prolong your angst, really. But if you're with someone, if you're with that someone special, if you're thinking about that someone special, this is the time to think about it. This is the time. Just light yourself a candle. Get yourself some wine. You know, get the ambiance going. I'm just here to help you along. I'm here to guide you. But you have to take that first step yourself towards the ultimate realization of your love and, in turn, humanity's love towards each other. Yes, indeed. I have a group of songs here that I intend to use as sort of that guiding force. If you can think of any, feel free to, you know, break. Feel free to break if you need to break, because this is going to go on for 2 hours. This is only for manly men and womanly women here. This is, you know, this is not childish games. This is serious, serious stuff. Give me a call at 632-6901 if you have anything that touches your gonads in any particular way, or if there's a faint memory of a previous love that you might be able to use on this particular one. 632-6901. Let loving begin.